see everybody. We got important things to discuss tonight. Might not be what you thought, but hopefully will be important anyway. It's critical, I think, for your life, for you to always have in mind important moments, pivotal moments. If you collect stories, that it's not just like, oh, cool, heard a cool story, well, unbelievable. But we actually let stories get into our heart and learn from it and spend the time at night thinking about how can I integrate that into who I am and help myself be a better human being so then we have a chance to make the world a better place. So one of those stories for me, I'm just talking about myself. You can decide whether you're into this or not. There was a mashgiach in Gateshead, a yeshiva in England. I forget his name. I asked him a chila. I forget his name. They have this awesome yeshiva, very firm. They're learning stark Torah, right? And not as good as NCS like Hall, of course. But they're doing good things. Now, when you get to yeshiva, God willing, one day you'll see there's the base medrash. It's loaded with svarim, and then they have this thing called utzar svarim. Anybody know what utzar svarim is? So they have a library. Let's say we're learning Masechta Megillah this summer. So the base medrash will be full of Masechta Megillahs. What's going to happen next year when we learn Yevamos, or whatever it is that we're learning? What's going to happen with all the Megillahs far? What's going to be with all of those? So they have a collection, like, you know, downstairs, upstairs, wherever it might be in your yeshiva. They have a collection where all of the non-Masechta that we're learning far, where all of those go. Now, there are different types of people. Like we said, there are the back people, there are the front people. You have all sorts of different types of learners also. There are some people that like learning in the base medrash. They like the noise, they like the passion, they like the fire. And there are some people that like the quiet. They don't want to be in the middle of the scene. They get distracted. They have one of those letter kind of diagnoses, AD something. And they're like, no, I can't be in the base medrash. It's like too much going on. I need to focus. So they go learn in the Otzer. The Otzer is usually quieter. So on this day in Gateshead, two bachrim, fine young lads, they decide that the Shem Shemayim, they want to go learn in the Otzer. And they don't want to be disturbed, so they lock the door. A few minutes later, there's a knock, and they go. They don't really want to be disturbed, and they who is it? It's the Rosh Yeshiva. So they look at each other like, yeah, right. Right? Rosh Yeshivas don't go get svarim from the... You know what happens when the Rosh Yeshiva needs a book from the Yotzer? You know what he does? What? Yeah, you have like those guys as part of the personalities. You have those guys who are just like pretending to learn, but really they're waiting for the Rosh Yeshiva to need a sefer so that they can be like, I want to get the Rosh Yeshiva a sefer. Anyway, I'm sure it's one of those guys. So they're like, oh, sure, Rosh Yeshiva. You know, they start talking trash with him. Sure, Rosh Yeshiva. Oh, yeah, you came to get, oh, you need a, maybe I can get it for you. Do you want to just tell me what book you need and I'll pass it out the door. And they hear, no, it's okay, just let me in, I'll get to say it for myself, I don't want to disturb you. And they're having this whole conversation back and forth, and they're like, and they're being like all, smack talking, and then at one point it dawns on one of them, it's like, whoever's imitating the Rosh Yeshiva, it sounds an awful lot like the Rosh Yeshiva. So, takes a peek out of the, through the curtain, and it turns out, that it's the Rosh Yeshiva. Okay, now you're busted. Okay? So what do you do? So like men, they're going to open the door and take their licking like men. So the sheepishly walk out, they open the door. Unbelievable what they saw. Rosh Yeshiva walks in like this. He goes over to the, Rosh Yeshivas know these kinds of things. Without looking, he gets over to the shelf where he needs the sefer, takes out the sefer, tucks it under his arms, covers his eyes again, and walks out. Why?
It's not very simple.
Because he knew, even if he would be nice, even if he would say it in the nicest of ways, even if he would be like, guys, I was a teenager once too, don't worry, all good, we got... But there's something that they would know, that if he would know who it is, every time they saw him, he would be embarrassed. So Rosh Yeshiva said, we don't embarrass other Jews. That's not what we do. Good lesson for us, by the way. We don't embarrass other Jews. Even when they deserve embarrassing. We don't do that. So he covered his eyes so that there is no other option in the story. I will never know who it was that that embarrassed themselves in this kind of way. So this story is very important in my life. Because just so we can talk a little bit of Torah tonight in these few minutes. There's a Zeklav Gadol BaTorah. What's the Zeklav Gadol BaTorah? Yaftel Reacha Kamocha. So important. I heard a crazy, my wife just told me a crazy thing. She said that some Rav, Rabbi Sheis Taub said on one of the, everybody's getting him on their podcast. So he just said that he asked his 7-year-old son, he asked him, what's the hardest mitzvah in the Torah? And the 7-year-old said, Yaftel Reacha Kamocha. So Rabbi Taub said, is it really so hard for you? You can't be a nice guy. It's really so hard. That's the hardest one in the Torah. And the kid said, no, that's not hard. Of course I can be nice. The hard part is loving myself. Okay, I'll leave that out there. That's a crazy deep 7-year-old idea. But we know Yaftel Reacha Kamocha, Zeklav Gadol BaTorah. What is the mitzvah of Yaftel Reacha Kamocha? What is that? Anybody know what the Gemara says? What do you have to do in order to fulfill that? It's a Zeklav Gadol BaTorah, by the way. All those Jew lovers, all those who want to be the best Jews that you could be. So Zeklav Gadol BaTorah, this is an important rule. Right? I'll wait for the translator. No, the translator. Yeah. It's okay. It's all good. He's right. Okay, yeah. We're good. Okay? You have to ask them to love your fellow Jew. This is one of the main rules. Okay, listen, we're sitting in a room here. This is NCSY Kolo, guys. This is the main rule of the Torah. How can we say that we're great Jews? We don't even know how do we fulfill the main rule of the Torah? What does Gemara say? Somebody. Okay, for all those listening on the recording, everybody's got their hands up. I just don't know who to choose. Everybody. The Gemara says, Masha Sanoi Alecha, Lo Sa'asel Lecha Virecha. If you hate when somebody does something to you, so you can't do that to somebody else. So we're going to get the girls in a second for those that are wondering if you walked into the right chair or not. All right, don't worry about it. I'm just setting you up. Okay? Shoo. Okay. What does that mean? If I don't like when somebody does something to me, so then I can't do that to somebody else. So Ben Azai says to Rabbi Akiva, who's the one who makes that statement, but as it says, Bechvod HaRav, Rabbi Akiva, I think you're falling short. That's not the most important rule in the Torah. The most important rule in the Torah is, Zeh Sefer Toldos Ha'adam B'Tzelem Elokim Bara Osav. The Pasuk from Parshas Bereishis. That this is the generation, these are the stories of mankind. That man was created in the image of God. Rabbi Akiva says, whoa, dude, what does that Pasuk have to do with anything? So Ben Azai says, what's the difference between what don't do unto others what you don't like done to yourself versus see people as telem elokim? So he says, I'll give you an example. Let's say we're part of that crew and we're sitting around. So we're bro, you know, we've been hanging out, we've been friends forever. And, we just say things to each other just because, you know. So if I don't mind that Chaim calls me a jerk, I don't mind it, like whatever. So then I can do that to him. That's according to Rabbi Akiva. If I minded it, if I didn't like it, so then I can't do it to somebody else. But if I mind it, so then I can do it to somebody else. Comes Ben Azai, here's going to be the transition right now. Comes Ben Azai and he says, that's not the way that we see people. We have to see people as B'Tzelem Elokim Bara Oso. I have to see people as if they were created in the image of God. Sitting in front of me right now is not 30, 40, 50 young men. Sitting in front of me right now, whether we like it or not, and it's too bad. It's too bad on our people that we don't know this, or maybe we try to avoid it because what this might mean. But sitting in front of me is really 40, 50 Tzelem Elokim. There's gods. There are gods sitting in front of me right now. The difference is that I don't care. It doesn't matter if I don't mind that you call me jerk. I can't do that to somebody else because what I don't mind has nothing to do with anything. You don't call Tzelem Elokim jerk. And we started seeing people as Tzelem Elohim, so they can't be gauged by what I don't mind somebody does to me. It has to be gauged by, wait a second, this person here is an image of God. This is a piece of God. If we say in the morning, Neshama Shenasata B'Tahorehi, that I'm a Neshama and I'm a piece of God. So you can't now go wrong somebody. Oh, but what do you mean? They were inappropriate. They were annoying. You know, this is not my style. I don't really like him. He rubs me the wrong way. What about all that? Okay, so what? I don't know what the plan is. I don't know why Hashem made people like that. I don't know why it works. But the bottom line is that some way, that person is Tzelem Elohim. And if I saw him as Tzelem Elohim, so that we can't do anything negative or hurtful. So that Rosh Yeshiva, he said, listen, I'm a Rosh Yeshiva. They were wrong. There's no two ways about it. They were inappropriate. But the Rosh Yeshiva says, it doesn't matter that I'm Rosh Yeshiva and they're Talmidim. They're still Tzelem Elohim. And I have a responsibility. I have a mission that I need to build all the Tzelem Elohim in the world. We should say this all the time. And if we started thinking about the things that we say during davening, it might change our whole lifestyle and our whole attitude. On that day, on the glorious day that we're all living for, that day everything's going to be one. It's not going to be Rosh Yeshiva and Talmud and rich and poor and good looking and not and smart and not and athletic and it's not about that. It's going to be one. Everybody's all equal. I read this crazy quote in all the crazy turns of my life. So all of a sudden I became a guide in Poland. When I was growing up, I had aspirations like, "Oh, when I grow up, I want to lead trips to gas chambers." But this is the way that life turns out. So in Treblinka, one of the testimonies says that when they were taking out the people who were dealing with the dead bodies, at that point, dealing with dead bodies, it didn't matter who was the president of the community and who was the beggar and who was the chairman of the board. And who was the schlepper? It didn't matter. At that point, everybody's all the same, equal in front of the Lord. So it's the same thing. Everybody's equal, and now we're talking about life. We're talking about positive. Everybody's equal. Everybody is Tzelem Elohim. And when we say everybody's Tzelem Elohim, that means everybody. Not just as we're sitting in this room and we're talking to boys. So we're Tzelem Elohim. We're Tzelem Elohim. But even when we're talking about the other gender, women are also Tzelem Elohim. An argument can be made if there's such a thing as this, but maybe women are a little bit more Tzelem Elohim than men are even. Right? Two proofs of our religion that maybe women are even more Tzelem Elohim than men.
We have more mitzvahs.
The what? Three reasons. Excellent. You must be from Staten Island. You must be Avian Blossom's grandchild. Oh, it's a great uncle? Okay. Close. Did you do karate?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Three reasons. First of all, we have more mitzvahs. We have more things that we need to do in order to get to the level. Or in order to be... Okay? That's for sure true. What else? The what?
Adam was created from the dust, right?
Yeah.
Adam was created from the dust.
So wouldn't that make...
Like one level away from the dirt.
The what?
One level away from the dirt.
Okay. All right, I'll take it. One level away from the dirt. That could be. Yeah.
Hashem told Avram to listen to Sarah, so Sarah might be more...
Yeah, but maybe that's only if your wife's name is Sarah. Don't marry a Sarah. Okay, whatever you do. If you learn nothing else from me, just don't marry something. Because then you can read in the Torah everything Sarah says you have to do. It'd be like you're missing the Torah. Then you, it's great enough. I mean, it's bad. It's great enough. Yeah. Now, it could be. For sure, Sarah was a greater than Nidia. Yeah, Breska.
I was going.
Okay, I was just joking, by the way. You can marry a girl named Sarah. If your mother's name is Sarah, that's great. You know, even better. She's a prophetess.
The woman is
exactly ding ding, right? A woman, right? The most godly thing that we could do A woman creates another human being. Right? That's there's nothing we can assist. We're a necessary assist. Right? But women actually create. That's why in the halacha, after a child is born, so if it's a male child, there's only a certain amount of time that we have to wait tumah. And if it's a female child, you have to wait double tumah. Because women are not only alive, but they can give life. Giving life is the most godly thing that you can do. Okay, so women, so therefore women inherently are more godly than men, yeah. Okay, that's like more mitzvahs. Okay, women don't need yarmulkes. Could be, yeah. But also, how do we determine who's a Jew? Let's say you have the biggest Talmud Chacham in the whole world. Somebody knows the whole entire Torah by heart, and he marries a non-Jew. The child is? Is? No. Non-Jew. Oh, you guys with the momsers. Stop the momsers. Yeah. That's okay, yeah. Now let's say it's not a violation of a law. Let's say nobody was married. Let's say nobody's married. If nobody's married, so that's not a momser. But it's worse than a momser. You know what's worse than a momser? I backed that up. Sorry, bad speech. Not worse than a momser. Not being serious. You gotta be careful. Yeah, not worse than a, you know. I'm not saying that. People interpret things the wrong way. You know, I grew up. There's this guy in my building, Frank Handelman. He's not Jewish. One of the most unbelievable people that I know. An awesome human being. So I didn't mean it like that. Okay? But in halachic status, I meant. In halachic status, less than a mamzer is a non-Jew. So if a Talmud Chacham marries a non-Jew, the child, if they created a child, and the child's a non-Jew, well, if you have somebody who doesn't know so much Torah and married to, or and creates that with a Jewish woman, so then the child. So not only do women have the power to give life, but women also have the power to determine who exactly is, right, who's Jewish or not. That's all I'm saying. Okay? So I just want to rant a little bit, with your permission. We have the ability here to make a revolution if we so choose to do it, in my opinion, to do the right thing. But as opposed to... One of the things that I really picked up from doing these Poland tours has to do with a woman named Sarah Schneer. Anybody know who Sarah Schneer was? Yeah, founded the Beis Yaakov. Okay. What was going on at the time in Poland was that only men were being educated, and women had to go to schools that didn't teach Jewish studies and teach Torah. And she's the one who raised the flag and then called in and said, no, we got to start teaching Jewish girls Torah also, because otherwise we're gonna lose out on all the people. And the culture that we live in, that we grew up in, and I'm with you, I grew up in that culture also. So I'm sure you guys know better than I do. You know, if we're trying to sell something, but now you can tell, I haven't seen TV in a little while. But you can tell me if it's still this way. A beer commercial, very little beer, a whole lot of girl. A car commercial, not so much car, a whole lot of girl. A basketball game, there are people that actually go to the game to not watch the basketball. But why do we need that? And you know, why do the Dallas Cowboys have to have that as like their, you know, as part of the thing? Like, you know, what is that? Why can't we come and watch football? You know, why wouldn't there be? Why shouldn't we have on the sideline, you know, old Dallas Cowboy great heroes? Let them do dances on the sideline, you know, in order to get everybody all excited. We'll come to watch football, right? Why do we need cheerleaders for? So the culture that we're coming from, unfortunately, in my humble opinion, you can argue with me if you want, but there is a notion of what I'll call objectifying women. Right? Objectifying from object. Not, certainly not selling Elkim, and in a certain sense, not even human. Right? Object. Right? What, object of what? Object of what? Why is everybody doing that? Why are they selling that? No? Why are they selling that? Why do we advertise like that?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's appealing to people, especially the ones who are going to make the decisions in the families about the big buck spending. Right, they appeal to the people, like, oh, let me associate my good feeling with the beer, with the car, with the whatever, or whatever it is that I'm selling. I'm going to try to appeal. Why do you have to appeal like that? Yeah, true, people will buy it. But generally speaking, if something has substance and content and is real and valuable in and of itself, so then you don't have to sell it with anything else. But if something might lack value and it can't sell itself, so then you might have to sell it with something that's catchy and that's going to be appealing. That's objectifying. I'm using something else in order to get to the goal that I have. Now that's not a Jewish idea. What's the Jewish idea? So you gotta really know Parshas Bereishis, the first parsha in the Torah. You gotta really know Parshas Bereishis. If you want to know everything about life, study Parshas Bereishis. This was the beginning. Right? This is the reason why Hashem created the world. So what do we see in Parshas Bereishis? There was one thing. It's okay, you can look at Parshas Bereishis. It's in Wikipedia, it's in Kabbalah.com. Listen, teachers see everything, I'm telling you, it's like crazy. So you want to look it up, you can read us the Pesukim. Google Parshas Bereishis. You have the Wi-Fi? Well, I'm not embarrassing, I'm following him he's helping me. So if you look at Parshas Bereishis, it says that when Hashem created the world, so there was a tree. There was a tree that you weren't allowed to eat, called the Eitz Hadas. Why couldn't we eat the Eitz Hadas? Besides, Hashem said, why weren't we allowed to eat the Eitz Hadas? The tree of knowledge.
This kind of knowledge that's not good for us, that we should not have?
Okay, maybe. It could be. I'm not denying that pshat, but I'm just going simple, without getting too deep. Guys, these are basic questions. By the way, everybody, sound the alarm. If we don't know basic questions about Judaism, we got to get to work here a little bit. This religion stinks if I don't know anything about it. If like, there are basic questions I can't answer, I'm not even talking about like what does the Ksos HaChoshen say, explain the Gemara Baba Kama. I'm talking about Parshas Bereishis and Eitz Hadas. Why did God want us to eat from the Eitz Hadas?
He wants to test us.
What?
He wants to test us.
Okay, so if that's the reason though. Okay, good point. But if that's the reason, so then he could test us with anything. Why it's a das?
So that's just what happened to be.
Okay, maybe. Okay, this is not the topic for tonight. So you want to just say, if you want to do this, just happen to be like that. Okay, that's a debate. Okay, I'm going to say that this is the very first thing that happened in all of world creation. The very first thing is that God said, "Don't eat from the das." There's something more significant that's happening just besides it happened to be that the tree was there, and this is the one you can't eat from. So if you look just a few psukim later, again, just read simple pshat. That Hashem said, that the malachim say to Hashem, or however that conversation goes, they said, you know, mankind ate from the Eitz Hadas, and now if he eats from the Eitz Hachayim, so then... Oh, my heart is killing me, somebody. If he eats from the Eitz Hachayim, then... Yeah, and then... And then man is no longer going to be man. He's going to be ka'achad. What if God was one of us? I think it says, right? Right. So then God, then man's going to be like us. So we got to kick him out of Gan Eden in order so that man doesn't cheat his way into being a God. Meaning, well, why shouldn't we have eaten from the Eitz Hadas? What happened when man ate? What happened when we ate from the Eitz Hadas? What did it do? It made us godly. Eating from the Eitz Hadas made us godly. But what's the problem? Isn't that the whole reason why we're on the world in the first place? When we wake up in the morning, the first thing that we should think of is how today am I going to be more like God? So if we did it. We got it. We ate from the Eitz Hadas. Here we are. We're like God. So what's the issue? Because we cheated. We cheated into God. We didn't become God the God way. We cheated, like when I was in MTA. I mean, not, I don't want to say that out loud. When I was in high school. Right, so, because there are some guys here whose fathers were my classmates, I won't say. We won't go specifics. But we cheated. Right? We cheated. God doesn't want us to cheat into being God. God put us on this world to make ourselves God the right way. Okay? Is everybody get that? Because that's going to be the turning point of the next thing. All right? We ate from the tzedakah, we cheated. God wanted us to get to be like God through a different manner. So now if we go back for a second and we look at the Pesukim, the Torah says, right in the beginning, God created Eitz Hadas, L'das Tov V'ra. We're going to now know the difference between actual good and actual bad. And the next Pesuk is, God says, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. If you eat from the Eitz Hadas, most Tamos, you're for sure going to die. Right? The next Pesuk is, God says, this is the very beginning, Lo Tov HaYosodam V'ado Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. Right, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas, because I don't want you to cheat, but I want you to be godly. So the next thing that's going to happen is, we have to start getting on the road of godly. What are we going to do? Lo tov, it's not tov for man to be by himself. I'm going to make an Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. I'm going to make another creature. Ezer Kenegdo. Well, I don't know if we have time for tonight to do that, but... but there's going to be another creature. So ostensibly, what's the reason why God created woman?
To accompany man.
Not because man was lonely.
Help me, Lord God.
To help with what?
Become godliness.
Okay? Rebosai. Okay, this is the point right here. You can tune out. You can go back behind the barriers after this point. The reason why woman was created is because our point of being here in this world is to turn ourselves into, as much as we can, is to transform ourselves into a God. But lo tov, it's not going to happen by ourselves. The only way that it's going to happen is that only in the combination. Okay? I want to be a little sensitive over here. Gotta be serious. I'm being transparent. Okay? You know, the odds that there's somebody who their orientation might prefer men. The odds that there's somebody like that sitting in the room are high. Okay? How this fits into what I'm talking about now? Okay? If that's just don't stand up. You can stand up if you want, I guess. But you know, you don't have to stand up. Speak to your Rabbanim afterwards. We're talking about just We're given a half hour share. We're not giving like the entire Judaism in 1 second. Okay, but if this applies to them, it's important, by the way, Rabbosai. It's important to be sensitive. Okay, we're talking about the cornerstone of creation, man and woman. We got to be sensitive that you know that there are people that are created in different ways. Okay, speak to Rabbanim. Don't just dismiss. Speak to Rabbanim. There are answers. There are answers, and there are ways to deal with it. Okay, but for our purposes, in the more streamlined, the more generalization right now, the only way that we can become godly, instead of cheating from the Eitz Hadas, the only way we can become godly is?
Is
only with the partnership of a woman. The only way that we could do what we were created in this world to do is only with the partnership of a woman. But then we grew up in the culture of America. I'll tell you what hurts me. It literally pains me. I'll be with guys in yeshiva, and of course nobody here. I'll be with guys in yeshiva, and let's say we're on a bus. I don't know why this is where it happens most often. We're on a bus, and I see guys looking out the window. They see a woman on the street. So there are people out there. What do they do when that happens? They start hooting, making comments, kissy faces, whatever, something really, really degrading. Really degrading? What are we doing? Do we not realize that the only way that we can do, the mission that we have in life, which is to be godly, the only way that we can do that is only in the partnership of a woman? And then we're going to treat, that's the way that we're going to treat a woman. A number of years ago, And I was just thinking about this last night because we were in Aquacaf. So a number of years ago, one of my daughters, I don't know what we're talking about, 5 years old, was like rolling around on the grass and like her underwear was like showing. And a guy, you know, a guy was like, wanted to go over to his friends. Like to be like, whoa, look at the 5 year old, really? You know, our whole life is like so, you know, it's so obsessed with sexuality. You know, that we, you know, that this is what's happening. Now, if you look in the mirror, we understand this point. I take the things that we're, you know, that we're looking at. I'm not saying in any way that this is easy. But when we're watching, if somebody is, it's a hard battle. Somebody's watching pornography. What excites us? You know, what excites us in life? If that's what we're, if this is what we're obsessed with, if this is what we're focused on, is it a sense of kedusha? You know, when a man marries a woman, it's called kedusha. You know, it's called kedusha because when we have reunion of neshamas, so then that's the most kedush thing. That's the most kedush thing we could possibly have. Here's two halves of a neshama, two pieces, if we could say, kaviyachol, two pieces of God that are now reuniting to make the world more of the place that it's supposed to be. To have the ability to create life and to bring more godliness into the world. We call it kedushin. And that, be objectified, because that's the culture. Is that the culture that we're part of? So I'm calling for a revolution. What a revolution. You guys are young. And you're teenagers. And there are many of our friends that might not have seen the light. And they might not understand that in this world where we're evolving toward a better place, I hope that we're getting better and not getting worse. I hope that we're evolving towards a godly place, a world where we're Mashiach, will be Mashiach worthy. So part of that, a big step of that, has to do with how to treat women. Rabbi Isaacson told me this great idea, actually at Sarah Schneer's Kever, he said it. Such a wonderful idea. He said that when man ate from the Eitz Hadas, the world exploded. And godliness was shattered and spread over the whole world. And our mission for mankind forever after that was to try to get back to the place. We're trying to get back to Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'Neshuva Chadei Shemeinu Kikedem. Renew our days. Kikedem. Renew our days from like the time before or whatever, depending on the Medrash. But we return our days to Kedem. Kedem Gan Eden. Return our days to them. So he said that when there's a reversal of the punishment of the Eitz Hadas, so then we know that the redemption is coming. So some of the punishment of the Eitz Hadas was that women would have pain in childbirth. So God willing, in the right time, you'll find out that nowadays you have the option of pain in childbirth if you want. But if you want, there's also something called an epidural, and women can have babies without pain. That's a reversal of the punishment of the Eitz Hadas. It doesn't exist anymore. So he said that part of this process also, one of the punishments that Chava got for eating from the tree was that man was going to dominate woman. So the reversal of that is that when man starts treating women with respect, so then the world will be in a place that we could have redemption. And I'll tell you just from experience. Because you guys are young. So this might be, I'm telling you, this might be a great investment in your future. We don't work like light switches. It doesn't work that I'm going to get married, and that day, now I'm going to get married and have a partner, now I'm going to start treating women with respect. Things don't happen like that. We don't flip the switch. Oh, it's Yom Kippur. Let me feel the awe of Yom Kippur. Let me cry on Tisha B'Av. know, because it's fish above. Let me flip the cry switch. It doesn't work like that. If Beis HaMikdash is part of our life all the time, so then we have a fighting chance to cry at Tisha B'Av. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of our life all the time, we have a fighting chance to feel Yom Kippur properly. And if we treat women with respect, then you have a fighting chance that when you get married, God willing, at the right time, for the best woman for you, that when you get married, there's a fighting chance that you'll actually have a good marriage because it'll be built on respect. Because the concept of woman will be one in which there is respect. If we build it now, if we work on it now, if when our friends are making some kind of chauvinistic, you know, inappropriate sexually laden comment just because we think it's funny, but really, the only reason why it's funny is because we're selling cars. People who need to make fun of valuable things, tear down valuable things, it's only because they themselves don't have value. If we have substance, I don't have to tear anything down. If I have substance, I don't need to make fun of anything. Or, you know, if I have substance, I don't need to pleasure seek on the back of somebody else. Now think about it. Like, you know, if anybody's, you know, I'm not talking about Shomer Negiah tonight. You know, but what's, you know, why would somebody violate the Shomer Negiah? Because we love her? Or we love myself? And I love the way that it makes me feel. I'm a pleasure seeker. But if I have enough substance, I have enough content myself, I don't need to pleasure seek on the back of somebody else. I could be proud of just who I am because I'm so, you know, I'm so real. And I'm significant. Kutzker Rebbe says, and maybe this is the greatest disease that we suffer from today, is low self-confidence. Man, it doesn't matter if I don't daven. It doesn't matter if I don't show up. It doesn't matter if I don't learn. God doesn't care. Nothing happens. It doesn't matter. I'll say whatever I want to say. I'll do whatever I want to do. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't matter. And Kutzker Rebbe says, it's impossible that we don't matter. I think his line is, the day that we were born is the day that God decided that the world was not a good enough place without us. So he put us on this world to make the world a better place. On this particular issue, we have a lot of work to do. Let's start treating things of value with value and significance with significance. Especially when that person, it doesn't matter that we might be years away, but that person, whoever it is, that person is the most significant part of whether I'm going to accomplish my mission in life or not. So let me get the practice now. Let me get the habits now. Let me get the routine now. Let me build the mindset now of somebody who's going to have, where is God in the relationship? God's in the relationship because when I face a woman, I'm not looking at an object that's going to satisfy my self-pleasure, but rather I'm looking at the potential of what's going to help me be the best version of myself that I can be. You're some of the news, Rosh Hashanah, to open up our eyes and our hearts and our minds beyond what culture and media is feeding us. Let us see what value, how to treat value with value, and hopefully, Mr. Zen, you marry the best woman that you can marry. You guys will be the best people that you can be. Yeah.